You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Well, hello there, everybody. We are live. Welcome to the UFC Fight Island 6 post-fight show here on the MMAfighting.com YouTube page. I am Mike Heck, alongside our producer, E. Casey Lydon, and our very special guest, the number 6-ranked 145-pounder in the world, who certainly had his eyes on tonight's main event between Brian Ortega and the Korean Zombie. The Boston finisher himself, Calvin Kattar, is here joining us in the post-fight show. How are you, sir?
Doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Great to have you here. And by the way, for you, Calvin, for everybody watching right now, I know we're all anticipating this big boxing matchup between Lomachenko and Lopez. I will assure you that we will be out of here before that fight begins. When Lopez starts to make the walk to the squared circle, we are bouncing so we can all watch this fight. So no worries. We will make sure that happens. This will not be a 90-minute post-fight show.
I got a few exit strategies just in case. So
I'm driving in a tunnel right now. Lost connection. Yeah. It's not our first day, sir.
I was told that was a big part of you signing the contract to appear tonight, is that you got to watch the fight. So we'll make that happen.
Yeah, it's a big one, man. It's a good one. You know what happens? I get caught up in the 24/7s or that blood, sweat, and tears they got going for the pre-fight. And then now, you know, I'm hooked. I got to watch the damn fight. I like a little pre-story to the fights. You know, they get you going.
Yeah, you start getting in that rabbit hole, and then you're like, oh, man. Then you get the goosebumps. And you're ready to go. Now you're ready. But you know, before we get into what happened, you know, in the octagon, who do you like in that fight? You going with Lomachenko or you going with Lopez to pull off an upset here?
Lomachenko, but I love the story that, you know, the dads, it's just, you know, the different relationships with the dads, and then yeah, it's just there's a lot of animosity on the line, and you know, I think at the end of it, you'll see, you know, a little bit of mutual respect. But both tough guys, I think Loma gets it done.
I am with you on that one. I think a lot of people agree. I saw some people on social media saying that this could be a draw, but that's boxing, and we never know what that was going to happen. But so being a guy, Calvin, with best interest in the division and everything going on above you in the rankings, you've been waiting for these top five guys, kind of like Volkanovski, to get in there and get something going here in the featherweight division. It was a big one tonight. Brian Ortega sweeps the scorecards over the Korean Zombie, did it on the feet for pretty much the entire fight. Did that surprise you? Did this fight go the way you expected it to go?
Yeah, no, I was going to mention that with the boxing fight. Everyone expects Loma, but no one expected Ortega, or at least in the fashion that he did it. So, you know, props to him. He came out after being inactive for a long time and show why he's, you know, still considered one of the better fighters in the division.
So you were impressed with his performance? I mean, because you look at it on paper, and I think all of us are in agreement that if it gets to the ground, it's Ortega's fight. But if they stand there, I mean, he's not going to stand there with the Korean Zombie, especially for 25 minutes. And the spinning back elbow in the second round just changed everything in that fight. What did you think of that maneuver and some of the ways he was setting that up throughout the fight?
Definitely really clean. He caught him overcommitting to his shots, or Ortega caught him. And he looked real sharp, man. He wasn't loading up his shots, looking for the knockout. He was just, you know, he was peppering his jab, keeping him at bay. Like he said, baiting him in, and then landed some big shots. And then when he did, you know, Zombie was a little hesitant to come back in again. And he was kind of okay with throughout the middle of the fight, just kind of losing as long as he losing the rounds, getting edged out as long as he wasn't getting giving up a big shot, almost in a sense. It was like he was just coming back too. But it was a good fight. You could feel you know, they were both working their game plans and their strategy. It was a well methodical, thought out fight, and Ortega just you know, took him to school.
So the big question is now, because Dana White said it, and I think everybody was in agreement. I spoke with Volkanovski a couple weeks ago that the winner of that fight was going to be next in line to fight for the title. So it looks like sometime maybe early 2021, Ortega is going to challenge Volkanovski. From an X's and O's guy, you're going to be watching that fight very closely too. You're probably a win or two away from getting there yourself. Who do you like in that fight? Do you think Ortega has what it takes to take that strap off of him?
I mean, if he fights how he fought tonight, he's going to be a dangerous opponent for the champ. But I think we're all just excited to see some movement. And I think, yeah, the UFC is eager to set up a different headline other than, you know, the Holloway, you know, Volkanovski fight. So this gives him some new blood and maybe, you know, move things around the top a little bit, which it's much needed. So we'll see how things shake out. Like you said, end of this year and the beginning of 2021. I'm excited, though.
I think it's you and Holloway, man. That's the fight to make. We talked about this before. You've been talking about it quite a bit. I know your manager's been talking about it quite a bit. The man, Tyson Chartier, who got this all set up for us. I mean, this is the fight, right? I mean, you're looking for either of these guys at this point, but I feel like you and Max it's destined to happen at this point.
Hey, sounds right. Seems to make sense. Everyone else is busy. You know, two game guys looking to stay busy. And yeah, I'm with it, man. I'm not training this hard for nothing. So sign me someone up. And let's get to work. I'm already, you know, my goal is to go 3-0 this year, and the year's not done yet. So I'll be ready to go whenever they come calling.
So ideally, perfect world, you get back in there maybe November, December. December more probably, yeah, more preferably at this point.
December sounds like good. I'd like to get on a car with my teammate Rob Font, man. He's overdue. You know, coming off a big win against Simone, and I think it's about time. Everyone's talking about these bantamweights, but they're all forgetting about Rob Font. So I'm excited for his comeback and really show why you know he's one of the best fighters in the world too.
Yes, that's a question I get a lot. When's Rob Font coming back? I know he is cleared to compete. It's just a matter of getting him back in there. So hopefully we can get him set up and maybe get you on there as well. Have the New England Cartel just all represented. Maybe get Mikey Rod back on. You can all fight together. Him.
Joe Lozon. I'm still looking to put a bucket list next to Vegas for fighting. It hasn't happened yet. And I was joking. I was like, I can't even get a fight in Vegas when it's a 50-50 shot. Yeah, either Fight Island or the Vegas. Send them to Fight Island. I don't know what I got to do to. Yeah, what up, Blue Franks? All right. I'm seeing some shout outs on you. Yeah, man. I'm trying to get me a Vegas fight. But and hopefully by the year's end, like I said, and hopefully with my teammate, Ruff Martin.
Yes, we'd love to see that happen. Calvin Kattar joining us on the UFC Fight Island 6 post-fight show. Brian Ortega gets a huge win over the Korean Zombie in the main event, swept the scorecards. Co-main event, we saw Jessica Andrade get a quick finish over Caitlin Chookagian. What did you think of that performance, Calvin?
Great body shots. I'm way to go back to it. I was happy to see it. I always love seeing good body work, especially in MMA. You know, it's intelligent striking. I thought I saw Ortega do it a couple times too, hit the body, good setups. And, you know, good body work slows him down, puts a little money in the bank. And, yeah, man, she didn't need a lot of time to do it.
Yeah. What a first female fighter in UFC history to win fights in three different weight classes, 115, 125, wow. 135. She said she's willing to go up to 45, Calvin, to get another fight in.
I love it, man. She's a little beast. She's a pit bull. She goes in there, and really is not much of a feeling up process. She wants to land big shots and she goes out and lands them.
She sure does. She looked great tonight. You know what? And normally we talk a lot of different things, Casey, but you know what? Let's just get right to the peeps. Let's get right to the peeps because we don't know when Lomachenko and Lopez is going to happen. We want to make sure we're ready and willing and able.
I'm in a tunnel right now. I got you.
Power's out. Wi-Fi's out.
Power's out. Yes. All right. Here we go.
Questions? Questions for Calvin about tonight's card or whatever. Let's see what we got here. Yeah, what a great performance tonight by T-City against TKZ. Do you give him a great chance versus Volkanovski, being evolved and better than he has ever been? And where does the Korean Zombie go from here? So that's an interesting question, Calvin. What, you know, maybe you and the Korean Zombie could get some work in. Is that a fight that interests you at this point?
I'd like to fight a guy off a win, you know, but then again, look, I mean, fight Max Holloway off a loss, or, you know, maybe him. Honestly, I don't really give a shit. I just want to fight someone. Someone with a high rank. Sounds cool to me. Does Ortega stand a chance? Yeah, man, he looked great. If he goes on fights like that, yeah, he mixed it up really well, too. He threatened the takedown, landed some elbows. I love spinning shit. You know, that was impressive. It was cool, fun to watch. And, yeah, he just mixed it up real well. So kept him guessing, kept him on his toes. And, you know, I'd be interested to see that matchup versus Champ. But I'm excited to, you know, just get in there. I'm more excited about stepping in there with either of these guys with me in the future. But, you know, props to Ortega. He came out with a big win, impressively. He really looked impressive tonight. So you can't hate on too much for getting that next shot. And, you know, good luck to him. And hopefully I get in there with either of these guys in the future.
Yeah, and I like that matchup from a stylistic perspective. We talked about this earlier on our stream for the press conference, is that Volkanovski has such a great ability to adjust in the middle of the fight. I mean, you saw it in the second Holloway fight. Those first two rounds, he probably dropped on everybody's scorecards, but then he was able to make those adjustments in there and make things interesting. Probably won the third, fourth, and fifth round. Just depend. I mean, it was a really close fight. It could have gone either way, but you know, and seeing these extra tools in Ortega's toolbox right now, that makes that fight a little more interesting to see how things would go in rounds 3, 4, and 5, right?
Definitely. I mean, he got my attention after that last performance, and I'm excited to see the matchup. But, where does Zombie go from here? Who knows? I just hope these things keep shuffling around a little bit, because like you said, things have been a little stagnant. I don't care where they go, as long as they move around. Let's get them going. Let's stop holding up the division. If the champ wants Ortega, make it happen. Cool. Let's start, you know, let's make the featherweight division stand out among the rest and make these big fights happen.
I like the direction of 145 right now. Like, people talk about 35 being such a deep division. I think 45 is a little more underrated, but now that we're seeing a little bit of movement, I think we're starting to see 45 get at the forefront as well, Calvin.
I agree with that thought process, man. You might see it take off a little bit more now that these guys aren't so held up. It was a little standstill for a while, but hopefully 2021 will be good for us, you know?
Yeah. So we got questions for Calvin. Oh, go ahead.
I haven't seen anyone ask this, and I really want to know what Mr. Cater thinks about this. What did you think about Mr. Ortega's wrestling tonight? From my point of view, like, it was risky. It seems very risky, like the way he was reaching in for those legs, a Zombie. I was just thinking, oh my God, he's going to eat a big knee. But what did you think about it?
Yeah, I felt like he was real front foot heavy, Zombie. So maybe he was just kind of playing with that a little bit. He didn't look like he was going for it so much other than, you know, maybe kind of threatening it and then coming up with strikes. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he was just doing it more so to kind of mess with him, show him something different. But he didn't really, I don't think I saw him commit so much to any of the takedowns. And if he did, you know, he ran him over with it. It wasn't anything kind of technically set up. It just kind of happened. But so the wrestling is, I don't think it was really, it was more set up. I don't think it was really threatened as much as he wanted. I thought he did a good job mixing his striking with the takedown attempts, or threatening the takedown, but his striking really was what was nice off of the wrestling, I think.
So the wrestling just it accented the his striking just by correct, keeping Zombie going, okay, well, now I have to think about this at least.
Yeah, and also when you're looking down, I mean, he came a couple of times, tried dipping low, hit him with a sidekick to the face, but he didn't catch him dipping too much. He was grabbing the leg, ripping elbows, you know, threatening the takedown, getting him to kind of lean forward into one maybe. So I thought he did a good job mixing it up, disrupting the balance of Zombie and then coming away with strikes on the exit, which is real smart. So, yeah, he did that, mixed it up well. He did a lot of good things that, you know, I'm sure he's happy with. And he's going to give the champ a lot to think about should that matchup happen in January.
Awesome. Thank you for answering that question.
Yeah. Sure. So, by the way, if you guys didn't know, the bonuses tonight went to Andrade, Jimmy Crute for his knockout over Modestus Bukauskas. That was just violent. Yep. Super violent knockout right there. And then the fight of the night was the featured prelim between Guram Kutatzalatze defeating Mateus Gamrot in I was telling Casey that if I pronounce Kutatzalatze, I have to pronounce it like a ring announcer, because that's how I heard it and got the pronunciation. So you can't just say it normally. It's Guram Kutatzalatze.
Yeah, that's not an easy one.
No, it's not. Like Calvin Cater, That's it. We could say it in however.
Yeah, you'd be surprised how many people mess that up.
Guitar.
When I was getting my coffee order, man, I just switched up to my boy Joel because they kept good luck spelling Calvin. I see every, and then they end up spelling it J-O-L-E. I'm like, how do you mess up Joel? I couldn't imagine, man. But you guys get a tough you know, they hang you out to dry with some of these names.
Because there's so many pronunciations.
I mean, Joe called me Chris Cater. After I got Burgos at the guard, he goes, "Oh my God, Chris Cater."
I remember that. What did you think about Zombie's performance tonight, Calvin?
I think he was just looking for the home run a little bit much, and I mean, how can you after the last performance? Ortega looked like he, you know, was, could use a little work on the feet. And I think Zombie did a good job trying to expose that. But Ortega looked sharp, man. He obviously went back to the gym, made improvements, stuck behind his jab, and said he found a nice rhythm in southpaw. So he stayed there, worked out well. But I think Zombie was just loading up a little too much and was getting hit with some big shots, looking for the bigger shots.
Casey thought that Zombie looked sleepy tonight. That was the big thing. Maybe like the time difference and the change. I mean, it didn't affect you at all, but, you know, maybe it affected him a little.
Ortega had the same situation, you know, so it's tough. You know, he had to deal with the same circumstances. So a sleepy Ortega beats a sleepy Zombie, apparently.
That's great analysis, by the way.
I mean, it's what it is, right? It is. It's 4 a.m. for everybody out there.
Sleepy Ortega, man. Yeah, you watch out, man. Find him in Vegas. If you find him, find him in Vegas. Get him when like he's like wide awake. Yeah, sleepy Vegas. Yeah.
I think he should try to run it back where whoever he fights next in Fight Island, definitely. Yeah, he looked good out there at that 4 a.m. time.
Yeah. He said when he was asked about that, he said I like to party, man. I can party with the best of them. So 4 a.m. he's good.
Yeah, 4 a.m. is normal for him, so.
I think before he got in the UFC, most of his fights are probably 4 a.m. anyway.
Right.
You mentioned earlier about we talked about Ortega's wrestling. How much did it hinder Zombie? You feel the fact that maybe there was no plan B, like he didn't threaten a shot, or I mean, I know that's not his game, but maybe I don't know.
He didn't adjust. He didn't adjust. Right.
Yeah.
I felt like he was doing a good job, to be fair to him, in the second. And, you know, in the beginning of the round, maybe towards halfway through the end, then he got hit with that big elbow, kind of shell-shocked him. And I think he was kind of just tuning back in the third, fourth. And then in the fifth round, it was a little too late, as the way I read it, you know. But, that was a big elbow by Ortega. And a good shot sometimes will change a fight like that. Yeah, he didn't get the finish, but it definitely changed the pace of that fight and the momentum going into that second round where, you know, it was a pretty fair fight up until that one elbow.
Yeah, I think
it was just beautiful.
I think Zombie was actually I think that knockdown happened within the last minute, and I was pretty, from what I remember, Zombie was winning that round, I think.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. The momentum of the whole fight would have changed. Like if he doesn't land that elbow, I would be really interested to see how that fight would look like. But hypotheticals you can't really do in this sport because you'll get your head will start exploding. Yes, we'll be here all day.
Even just like you saw in that boxing fight, the guy took an accidental headbutt to the nose in the first round, started bleeding. You guys caught that in that Barboza Jr. I think boxing fight right before the Loma. It's the fight before. I was just noticing he took a nice clean headbutt by accident, but round one of a 11 round fight or something like that. It just sucks and leaves the ass just next to the fight. It is what it is. Now he's got something he's got to overcome. It is what it is. And everybody's been there. You had to deal with it. But it's definitely something to think about in the fight. And definitely gives the guys in the comment section a lot to talk about.
Yes. Anthony Watkins says, I'd be curious to know what Cater thinks about strikes intended to hyperextend the knee. Are they dirty or all is fair in love and war? A lot of people walking out with knee injuries lately. What do you think about that, Calvin?
So I think they're dangerous as shit, but that was the first, that along with the throat punch and the soloplex shot were the three moves my father taught me in like first grade how to defend. So I've been practicing that one for a long time. I'm well aware of it. And it's a little dangerous, man, but I haven't been with one where you know, it's bugging me too much. I think you just kind of got to be aware of it. If they want to get rid of it, I see it, whatever. It's not a big deal. But yeah, I don't see too many crazy injuries happen from that shot. Do you? I mean, you tell me. I don't really, every now and then maybe, but who's the last person that was injured to that strike?
For the amount of people
that I think, like Wonder Boy, I remember from the Till fight, he got his knee all banged up. He took a few of those and he was kind of pissed about it. And people were like, why is Wonder Boy complaining about that? Because his whole, like, his entire game is based on kicking and throwing kicks like that.
I mean, as long as it's not on the kneecap, but that's obviously a small window right there. But if you're going for the kneecap, I think it's definitely not ideal. But if you're going above the knee, as it's supposed to be intended, I believe, then, you know, I don't think it's the worst. But I don't think that was the craziest dictator of that fight specifically, but definitely, you know, something to talk about.
It's not illegal.
Not illegal. I think there's worse things. You know, I don't think it's the worst, but like I said, I don't think that dictated the fight. It was a good range finder. I thought Ortega did a good job earlier in the rounds too, landing some leg kicks, just establishing, you know, safe distance, making Zombie fall behind point wise slightly, and then just getting the ball going with that, you know, safe, long range kicks. And then kind of baiting him into big shots. You know, that was kind of the story of the fight, and he landed them.
I was wondering what would happen if, I mean, because you saw it even like in the second round, Zombie wasn't landing a ton of leg kicks, but when he was landing, they were adding up in a big way. I mean, Ortega's lower legs between like his shins and his calves were like purple. They were nasty in like the middle of the second round. And then I forgot all about him because Ortega just had a poker face on, or he just completely took over in that fight. So the leg kicks are a big weapon for both guys. Just worked out better for.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. Financial operations are needlessly complex. Startups have to cobble together a patchwork of tools to reconcile transactions from different sources and struggle to glean answers from platforms that speak different languages. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so you can pay bills faster, stay in control of company spending, and speed up reconciliation. Apply in minutes at mercury.com and join over 100,000 ambitious startups that trust Mercury, not just for banking and credit cards, but for the precision, control, and focus they need to transform their financial workflows and perform at their best. Mercury, the art of simplified finances. Apply in minutes at mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Choice Financial Group and Evolve Bank and Trust. Members FDIC.
Calvin, I think we addressed this earlier, but we'll ask it again in case you missed it. Who you got, Lomachenko or Lopez?
I got Lomachenko. I'm not really going on not taking a bold prediction there. I think he's, what, the 4-1 favorite right now, at least. Big money's on Loma. But they got a lot of money on Lopez. But the big sharks are saying the big bets are on Loma. So who knows? I think Loma gets the job done. He's fun to watch, man. That guy is like the Matrix. He really is. I try to study him a lot.
He makes it look so easy.
Yeah, it does. It's just, it's all fight IQ, man. Yeah. He's unbelievable at it. And you got to tip your hat, man. So, but the other kid's pretty tough. That Lopez kid, I mean, he's got that game changing power. And, you know, if he can land a big shot, it'll change the whole outcome of the fight. Same thing you got kind of going to the Khabib fight. Yeah, Khabib's a beast. But if Gaethje can land that one shot, you know, you kind of can't count those type of guys out. They're tough. They're durable. And they can put anybody away if they land that shot on the button.
Who are you picking in that fight?
That one? Just like I said, how do you go against Khabib, man? You can't really go against Khabib. But Gaethje's got that game-changing power. And I will say that Khabib's stand-up has gotten better, you know, since his debut. You know, he's improved it a lot. He dropped Conor, you know, big shot. But there's still some openings. And Gaethje, you know, Gaethje might be able to find them. But if you don't find those small windows in that short moment where Khabib comes in to close distance and commits, that's a long night, man, as you've seen with everybody else. And he just mauls you. So, yeah, I'm really excited about that fight. I'm really excited that we finally hit this quarter. And got some big matchups coming up that I've been wanting to see for a while now.
I agree. That's a huge one. Early start time for that card. I'm very excited. Calvin, on the East Coast, 2 p.m. main event, main card start time next week.
It's beautiful.
This is amazing.
I love it. Yeah.
You can play golf in the morning and go watch fights. It's beautiful.
Good time, man. I'm with it. Yeah, sparring and then go hit a round of golf with the app on the phone. I like it. I'm with it. Probably get maybe one or two more in before the end of the season.
Yeah. We're getting to that point where it's like that October gross weather. It just rains for like five straight days. And then we get like a nice sunny 52 degree day. And then we hope it lasts for a little while.
Yeah.
Peter Cater, Brady or Roger?
I don't know what that means.
Let's talk about Aaron Rodgers or Brady. Okay.
Yeah, is it Aaron Rodgers? Probably Rodgers. I don't know if we were Brady. Talking Roger.
Roger. I mean, I don't know, man. Anybody.
Maybe Clemens.
If not, I'm assuming he's talking about Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. So I'm going to say Brady, even though he's a buck, you know, got a lot of love for that guy. He gave me a lot of good days back home, you know, in the last two decades.
People like give me shit about the Brady, the Buccaneers thing. I think it's great. Like, you need a new challenge, go get it. Like, remember when Ray Bourque went to the Colorado Avalanche? It's the same thing for me. Like, I still rooted for Ray Bourque the whole time.
Yeah, go get
it. And he won the cup.
Yep. I mean, it hurt a little bit when Gronk went there too. Not going to lie. But, hey, it is what it is, man. I get it. If that was my boy, I'd make it happen too.
Yeah. It's fun to watch, though, because, I mean, after that first week, they're like, oh, Brady sucks. He's done. See?
I love the headlines,
he's,
man.
Beautiful. And now the last 3 weeks, he's looked outstanding.
Yep. Yeah, no, that's how these guys respond. I'm excited to see how the season plays out for both the Patriots and Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, man. After a loss, you know that they're bouncing back strong. They're just championship, program and athlete. And I'm excited to see how they do now that there's that riff in between and they both got something to prove a little bit more now. You know, it's a little bit more special than them.
Absolutely. That's a good question from Tyler Region. I think, what did y'all think of Jimmy Crew tonight? Power looks serious. Now I will lay it all on the line here. I'll put my cards on the table. I picked Modestus Bukauskas to win this fight in our little pick'em thing, because I've seen Bukauskas fight for a long time. And when you fight a guy, he's fought a lot of very powerful strikers. And what he's been able to do is he's been able to get dropped, but he's been able to overcome and then get late finishes. He's done this so many times. So I was like, all right, Crute's going to drop him and hurt him badly. But if he can get through that first round, I think he could turn around and get a finish. But Crute just is like on another level of power. I mean, when that guy connects, whew, it is clean and is vicious and is violent. And Modestus just couldn't do anything about it. So, Calvin, watch a guy. I know you're a big, powerful guy. You've gotten some big, impressive finishes in your career. What did you think, sitting back from a fan's perspective, watching Jimmy Crew get a finish like that tonight?
Yeah, it's the guy that put his arm around the guy after he dropped
him. Yeah.
Right? And then almost did a fell out.
Yeah, they opened the door. Awesome,
yeah. Then he hopped. Did he hop the fence after? Say what's up to Dana, right?
Yep.
Him and Hamzat.
Yeah, him and Hamzat were chilling.
Yeah, right? Man, what do you got to do? Sit cage side. You got one punch people. yeah, no, that kid showed some serious power, man. He's a tough kid. Landed a big shot, slipped and threw the right hand over the top, right? As the guy looked like he was almost coming in for like a jab and, you know,
Was it off a kick? I think it was off a switch kick.
What is it?
I think it was off a switch kick.
Yeah, it was kind of like a jab and it's just like a switch kick, right? And he slipped the jab and came over the top before the kick came. That was clean, man. That's good timing. I like that. I like, there's people forget there's so much to just do off, you know, just the jab and just basics, man. And if you can master the basics and have an advanced level basics, you know, those powerful shots when they land, it's just game changing. He did a good job, you know, finding that big spot and followed up and finished strong. His precision after that big shot was pretty impressive too. You know, hit him with a good, was like a hook type uppercut type deal on his, when the kid got up.
Yeah.
And then followed up, hit him again. That's how you got to respond, man. I thought Ortega, you know, when he dropped him with that elbow, if you come over, man, and try to go finish that fight, you put a referee in a situation where, you know, maybe he's a little uncomfortable now. If he doesn't stop that fight, it's on him. And, you know, I know the short time, I think, in that round anyway, but I think when you land that big shot, how you deal with that says a lot about you. And I thought that kid did a good job following up.
Yeah, he looked great. He's taking things very seriously. He's always been very talented. I think he's living in a van now, like near the gym. Like he's that serious because he wants to use all his money to like make himself better as a fighter, as opposed to paying rent and paying bills. He just lives in a van now, like right near the gym.
I respect it, man. I respect
Hell
it.
Yeah.
I mean, as if the pandemic wasn't isolation enough. Taking it another step further, man. I'm with it. I like it. Whatever gets him going.
So Calvin, how quickly or how difficult is it just to turn it off? Like when Jimmy Crute just demolished this guy, you know, a big fight of his career, and then half a second later, he's like, "Hey, bro, you all right?" I was like, "Whoa!" How does that work for you?
I'll tell you what, too. If I'm getting knocked out, I don't know if instantly, like you might have to. Who knows? Man, he just got knocked out, so you're maybe not out there. But like, I don't know if I want this guy hugging me after either, though. You know, like, give me a second, man. I didn't see what happened for probably whatever, but yeah, no, it was cool, man. It's after the fight's over. A lot of times you hope that the beef is settled if there is any. And generally speaking, it's, I never have like animosity towards a guy unless they create that themselves. And like I said, post fight. Yeah. He turned it off pretty quick, man. For me, it's like, it's pretty instantaneous though. It is pretty instantaneous, but it takes me a little bit, man. By the time I get out back and get into the green room, I've pretty much settled. You know, when I get to the green room, I hit the ice cream, you know, set up and all the food out back. I'm pretty good by then, but these guys are fast.
Have you been in a situation where you had a guy with like, you actually felt a ton of animosity towards an opponent? Like you obviously want to go in there and finish. Like I think when Jeremy Stephens missed weight, we talked about how pissed off you were about that whole situation. So I'm sure landing that elbow, finishing the fight the way you did was a little extra satisfying, but have you been in a situation like that before where you're just like, oh, I want to just absolutely destroy this individual because of things he said or whatnot?
I usually like try to find ways to create it, even though there's never really been many. But Jeremy did it on his own, you know, the way, and not like he was just that. I didn't really like the way he handled it and stuff, but you know, I was happy with the way things worked out in the fight. Other than that, I generally don't need the guy to kind of give me any more chips. I find reasons to get amped up for the fight. You know, whether he's a good guy, you know, tries to start some shit before the fight, talk some smack. So I'm really independent of whatever the hell, you know, they try to bring to the table. I come in prepared and try to deal with these guys all the same, whether they're trying to get under my skin or not, because, you know, sometimes that could work for you and sometimes that could work against you.
Life of a fighter. Yeah. We'll probably go like five. We'll do like five more minutes because we do not want Calvin to miss a second of Loma Lopez. I don't want to be on the other side of that.
Hello, man. It's a good fight. I know everyone hears me.
Yeah, we all want to watch. We all want to watch it.
You got to get in the zone too. You know, you got to, you know, it's just, you can't just,
yes,
it's a big fight. You know, you got to get your body ready, you know?
So get your last second questions in, ladies and gentlemen. Last second questions. Jessica Andrade looked impressive tonight against Chukagan. She looks stronger and more evolved with her debut at flyweight. She's getting a title shot with this performance, right? That is from our good friend Tristan Gordet. I don't know. I'd say she's right up there. But again, you have I think it's unfortunate that Lauren Murphy is not fighting Cynthia Calvillo next weekend, because Calvillo is out of that fight. Because I still think the winner of that one, especially if Calvillo won, would probably be next in line. But Andrade putting away Caitlin Chookagian in the first round like that, it's tough to argue. It's tough to argue right now. What do you think, Calvin? Like, would you just throw her? I mean, Shevchenko's fighting Jennifer Maia on November 21st. I mean, we all kind of assume that Shevchenko's going to win that fight, but anything can happen. Are you throwing Andrade in there next? Or do you want to wait and see how things play out a little bit more by the end of the year?
Champ, right? You got to see how, see when she wants a quick turnaround. And, but yeah, she definitely, she did all that she could do to control, you know, to get that shot. She went out there, she finished the number one contender, and put her away in the first round with body shots and did it impressively. So she made her statement, and now it's on the UFC and the powers that be. Like, you know, Brian Ortega went out, did his thing. He got his shot. It's hit or miss, man. Hopefully that works out for her, but she definitely looked impressive tonight. Be tough to say no.
It's crazy. Like, just seeing them face off with each other, Chookagian 8 inches taller, like 6 inches of reach. It was just crazy. And then Andrade got right in there, like 5 seconds into the fight. She got inside, started landing to the body, got her up against the fence. I'm like, oh boy, that was a lot easier than I thought it was going to be.
I like her style, man. She comes right in and tries to land some big shots, but she works her way in, you know, and I felt like Zombie was looking for some big shots, but he wasn't working his way in as much, or Ortega was doing a good job being elusive and moving his feet, getting out of there. But yeah, she put her against the cage and landed that finishing blow to the stomach. Impressive performance. She looked great, and I love watching her fight.
Yeah, Calvin, like, what does it take for a fighter? Like, is it a mental thing? Because, like, I know, you know, we were talking about this pre-fight. You're like, oh, she's so much shorter. She's like a foot shorter, you know? Like, so, like, what is it that fighter needs to be able to get through that fire, to get inside to land those body shots? Because it seems scary.
Yeah, I know, it's a lot of things, especially in MMA. You get too low, you try to come in chasing that body. Sometimes you get caught with a big knee or something up the center. And, you know, it's not as simple as some of these boxers will do it in our sport. But, yeah, you definitely got to just, you know, go commit and not stay on the outside too long, or else you'll be picked apart. And one way or another, you're working your way in. And like you said, she did a good job kind of handling what she did, working her way in. But you kind of find those types in the gym. You know, you're going to find that tall, the taller person that you go against, the shorter one, the Volkanovski of the group, the taller guy of the group, the wrestler, the BJJ guy, the boxing style, the kickboxer. You know, and then when you're used to all these different styles after, you know, cross-training enough with all these different like I said, styles that you'll be presented with in the octagon, you know how to kind of deal with them. And then at some level, if it's not working out the way you're doing it, you got to adjust real time. But where that one was, you know, that one round fight, there was no time to adjust for you know, the other one. And Andrade went in there and handled business.
Cool. And I think we got one more question. And
all right,
just a simple one.
Cater, who was the toughest person you beat?
Damn, man, you gotta spell that name right. See what I'm saying? I can't get the damn name right. AR, bro. I appreciate your question, but I'm gonna say, who's the toughest person I beat? I would say Shane Burgos. That was a badass fight, man. I got a lot of respect for that kid. Class act, you know, win, lose. And he brought a tough fight. I liked it. I remember in the third round, I won the first round. He might have edged me the second. And then that third round, we came out, and he was kind of amping up the crowd. And I'm like, man, this is where I'm from. I'm amping up the crowd. I was like, but he got my respect. I'm like, okay, all right. You know, this guy's bringing it. You know, we got a good fight on our hands. Third round, who wants it? And, you know, he amped me up. It was a great fight. It was a good test. 10-0, 3-0 in the UFC at the time. And it felt like, to me, after a short notice debut in California, Anaheim, in July, I had a 10-week camp. And at home in Boston. So it was like my real debut, and it was an important fight. And it was a great, tough fight. Well-earned, hard-earned win. I like them third round knockouts almost better than the first. You know, you go through something, you dig deep and you go and get a finish, man. There's nothing like those third round finishes. You just appreciate them after having to work so hard for it.
That was one of my favorite events to cover ever, UFC 220, because Media Day, Fenway Park, like up in
nothing
the
better. That was,
that was
cool,
amazing.
Right? That was cool as shit. I love that. Yeah, that was awesome.
What did that?
I walked
that
right up.
What was that?
220.
Was that DC Volkanovski?
Ozdemir.
Oh yeah, sorry, Ozdemir. Another V name, yeah. Oh yeah, I was there.
It was actually that was the co-main event. The main event was Stipe versus Ngannou.
Okay. Now it's all coming back. I remember. Yes. The catering was great at Fenway. I remember that. That's all
lobster
I remember.
Roll.
Yeah, the lobster roll.
It was really wild.
Kate, I remember that media day because everybody was lined up to talk to DC, and I walked right up to Calvin Kattar right off the bat. Ooh. Kattar was wearing his New England versus the World t-shirt. I remember that day vividly. I talked to you and I talked to Burgos like right after. Right. It was tremendous. It was good.
Not a lot of people came up to talk to me, man. I remember those things, but I love it. So yeah, I appreciate, you know, you coming up, giving me some TV time, you know, because starting out, man, they don't show you no love, and then all of a sudden, you know, you start kind of winning some fights, and they all want to act like they've been there from the start, and now you kind of got this, you know, you're always trying to pocket these chips, like I said, right? So I've had media days where not one person asked me a question in Chicago, then I knocked out Lamas, and then I get my opportunity as a main event, and it's funny how, you know, then I'm booked out with interviews. It's like you find reasons to get that chip on your shoulder, and that was just a funny situation right there with none of them coming. And then, but TD Garden was amazing, man. Boston doing the crowd. I remember I gave Ariel Helwani some shit because he went up to Burgos, didn't come up to me. You know,
I was about to say that because for that event, I was Ariel's camera guy. And I remember afterward, you guys were kind of a little pissy. And I was like, hey, I bet they're mad we didn't interview them. I think that was...
Well, I'll tell you what, man, I'm going to be pissed no matter what, but I didn't forget that. It wasn't directed towards you guys.
No, I know.
You guys gave me a couple extra chips for fight night. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome, sir.
That fight was awesome. I remember how excited I was. Like, everyone was talking about the two title fights. I'm like, dude, Kattar versus Burgos is going to be awesome. Yeah. That is a great fight.
I learned a lot in that fight. And, it's crazy, man. From my debut to now, I've never learned so much in my career. So I feel like I'm just scratching the surface, and it was a good test. I don't even really think, you know, a lot of people gave me too much of a shot in a couple of those fights. And even though I was at home coming off the win and had a long camp, and I was happy to go and earn some respect against a tough opponent in Shane Burgos.
Kattermania. I remember the Kattermania t-shirts. Was busted out of that event too. That was one of my favorites. What a great card that was. And you know what a great card tonight was? UFC Fight Island 6, and there's still more combat sports to come. Lopez about to go down. Yep. Where are we at, Casey? I know you got the TV on.
Oh no, we're done. I just got the cue from Esther. Esther's like, wrap it up, guys.
All right, we got the cue.
Wrap it up.
Yeah, yes. Good, man, because my connection, like I said, is kind of going right now. Get a little scratch. You guys are cutting out.
Well, Kevin, we appreciate the time. Any final words for the peeps, for the rest of your division, for the five members of this division ranked above you, for Volkanovski? What do you want to say to everybody as the division moves forward tonight?
I'm coming for all of them. And then when they show those damn rankings, they got to show 1-6 next time, not top five. And you get some love on that TV time next time, man. Talk to UFC, tell me the top six when mentioning the featherweights. Include my ass in there. Book one of these guys out and throw me in there.
Let's get two. I mean, have you tied for fifth at least, and then we can put both of you there. You can each have a five next inning.
I'm coming for all, and I can't wait for it. I look forward to the day I can share the octagon with every one of those guys, and I'm coming for that belt. If right now it's Ortega, next it's me, and whoever that's going to be to get me that opportunity, I'm ready for them next. So line them up. I appreciate the support. Good talking to you guys, and also tuning in my boy Rob Font. He's coming back with a vengeance after a year layoff and taking out Ricky Simone. Like I said, we're coming, man. New England Cartel's coming 2021. We're gonna be all in your face.
Connor Matthews, he had a nice performance too. He's one of your training partners, right? You know, Connor?
Connor Matthews came out with a big win. Mitch Raposa, another one. A lot of these guys, man, a lot of good up and coming talent. Tyson, top game management, went 3-0 that night, I believe. And we got some studs, man. It's tough to see the local scene at a standstill right now, but it's finally starting to move around again, and I'm happy to see these local guys who I know they're next up, man, and they're going to make New England proud. So definitely some big things coming for New England MMA in the future.
Absolutely. Calvin, appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the big boxing fight. Loma Lopez, the rabbit hole has been filled up for
wait,
you.
Wait,
so you're
last
all
one, invested. Last one. Who you guys got? I didn't get your predictions. Who do you got?
I'm a to be the man, you got to beat the man kind of a guy. So I'm going Lomachenko until I'm proven otherwise.
I just want to see him pivot and turn and do all those. I'm just going to stare at his feet. I'm just going to. That sounds weird.
I need an aerial view of the ring. Aerial view.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
I just want to see him move. I just love it.
Yes.
Thank you to the fifth ranked featherweight. Calvin Kattar. You just went up one in the rankings. Congratulations.
There you go.
Appreciate it. Right, well,
thank you, Calvin. Thank you, everybody, for watching right now. If you're listening or watching after the fact, we appreciate that as well. For Calvin Kattar, for Casey Lydon, I am Mike Heck. Good night, everybody.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.